Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Handbags at Dawn, the show utterly devoted to finding a direct link between carrying around a huge and varied amount of bag crap and incredibly effective womaning.
We are your hosts on this bag innards investigation, Charlotte Edmonds and Jessica Johnson.
One of us is a TV creative with 9 years of experience at Psycho TV, me. And the other is a broadsheet journalist and writer, Jess. But both of us are mums of two, and as such, we share the overwhelming and often confusing sensations of madly loving, caffeine-seeking, guilt-strewn tiredness. Yeah! This is the one where we celebrate the wonderfulness of being women, talking about talking, and embracing our finest lady bits with a simply fabulous female.
We've gone all silly with excitement today on account of our incredible guest. This presenter cut her teeth in TV production before making the step to on-screen talent, where her BBC Three documentary series, charting the highs and lows of issues such as childbirth, drinking, dieting and dating, won her acclaim, recommissions and many fans, us included, for her unique hands-on access all areas approach. Her career's gone from strength to strength, and she now hosts primetime consumer insight shows for BBC One and BBC Two, fronts programmes and brand campaigns in America, and regularly writes for national titles, a talent which has seen her pen and recently launch her first book, Letters to My Fanny. This is the gorgeous Cherry Healy.
That is like the best intro I've ever had in my entire life. I want that to be played on loop in my house and everywhere I go around me and in me.
Just sort of piped into the room.
Constant. So the thing that we're obviously fixated on at Handbags at Dawn is your handbag. Does your handbag say stuff about you?
I've got two that I use a lot, and I think they both say a lot about me. I mean, primarily practical, probably, which is awful. Every woman wants to be thought of as kind of a style icon. I'm not. My favorite is my rucksack. It is just so easy and just holds so much, and it's just been such a good friend to me. And then the other one is a kind of mulberry, big, chunky square. It's not an actual mulberry. I found it in a market, and they'd obviously had a long look at a mulberry. This was something inspired. But it's big and beautiful, and it's real leather, so it's all soft now after years of bashing it. I always migrate to those two.
I know, having read your book thoroughly and loving it, loved it, that you say that you've seen a lot of programmes where you look inside people's fridges and homes and bags, and I was going, oh God, we're common.
That's what we're coming to do. Uh-oh. Do you know what? I devour all of those. They are the most fascinating. But I do have a bit of a bugbear, though.
Go on.
My bugbear is with those things that it's lovely to have the glamorous version. I love those. But it's also lovely to have the real version. Actually, what is really inside someone's bag, you know, you've got the random things like half a biscuit and a bit of tatty old material. So I'm glad that there's more and more people are finding that balance of what do you really have as opposed to just beautifully styled hair-made scarves. But no, I love insights into people's fridges particularly. I'm really interested in what people eat.
You are very interested in people, aren't you? Oh. That's kind of your thing.
It's a huge problem. because I'll be sitting anywhere, a wedding, somewhere formal, somewhere nice, and we'll be talking chit-chat. And what I really want to say is, I don't care. Do you still love your husband? Or which is your favourite child? Or had any particularly deep experiences recently that we can get into? I naturally, I think, connect to people who can immediately either be quite silly or go downstairs into themselves quite quickly. But I also love people who can't, and you like gradually get to know and unravel and delve. And I mean, I'm probably a bit too intense as a person. I'm that annoying person. Really? How are you? I mean, that's so annoying. We're just trying to like have a glass of Prosecco on a Friday night. I'm insatiably nosy.
It's always what's within that counts.
So, Cherry, would you like to have a rummage in your bag?
Yes.
Pull out the rummage.
Here we go. So the first thing I'm going to pull out is my trusty Smashbox lipstick in Fireball Matte. And I wear this every single day that I'm filming because I get very, very cold. You think that it's for style, because I look smashing in it.
You do.
It's exactly the right colour for me, and my skin tone is perfect. It's matte. It feels like a practical, cool lipstick, and it's such a beautiful like orangey coral colour. It's like highlights for your face. But the real reason I wear it is because I get very, very, very cold very easily, and you're standing around for hours and hours and hours and hours, and my lips go blue.
So it counters the blueness.
It covers and counters the blueness.
God, Cherry, your lips go blue. This is awful. And people don't believe me. I feel like I need to write to someone.
People don't believe me. They go, oh, come on. It's just a couple of hours. I'm like, I'll go blue.
This is the reality of filming.
I remember someone once when I started presenting rather than producing, they said to me, almost like disappointed that I'd kind of gone to the dark side of like, you know, vanity and showy offness. Why have you done that? You know, is it like a fame thing? I was like, it's exactly the same as my last job, except for I have to wear mascara. I don't know where the glamour is. Who's having the glamorous TV life? I think people who do live television and they get cars there and they get hairbrushed and makeup. I do my makeup in the loo about 10 minutes before I film. I love every minute of it. This isn't a whinge. I love it. And it's part and parcel of it. We're all often up at 5 and it's always cold. And you know, after day 3 of being really cold, I don't want to wear thermals anymore. But I do love it.
Speaking of thermals and live TV, yeah. How was the jump?
The jump was incredible. They didn't recommission it this year, which was almost certainly due to me. No, I'm joking.
Obviously it wasn't. It was the huge amount of injury that was sustained by everyone involved.
Bad. They didn't commission it for lots of reasons. I might have played a part in that. I don't know. I'll never know. I hope not. The celebrities found it a huge burden after all they were doing to then come onto my show. And we had fun once we were there. It was really fun. But it's a lot to ask of someone who's done a 14-hour day and competed and trained that hard. Hey, by the way, we need you for another 2 hours. So I think it was just too much.
The paranoia that you exhibited there about the recommission, I mean, it was obviously, it was nothing to do with you. It was all the people who kept smashing themselves to smithereens. But do you feel that quite a lot? I mean, you've worked in production and you see the star going out there and they are the face of that. And sink or swim, they have to stand up and go, I'm the head of this show. This is what the public perceive. And you are carrying everything on your shoulders, and particularly with social media now, whereas before people couldn't reach you, could they, to tell you their opinions and to share their insightful thoughts on your broadcast, and now they can reach directly to you. It must be terrifying.
I feel very, very naked come the PR time, because you make the show and sometimes you don't PR it for another 6 months, and if the show is good, you feel very proud and very excited, and if the show is bad, you still have to give your whole self to it. You can't go around telling press, oh, this is a duff one, this one, hey guys, this is a bad one, give this one a miss. You have got to give it your all, because a lot of people put a lot of time and money and hope into that project. You know, being a presenter, you get paid for all sorts of things. You get paid to say words, but how hard is that? Come on. You get paid for waiting around for 4 hours without whinging. You get paid for PRing with all your might. It's unbelievably exposing. You have to sit it out. You just have to be a big girl about it.
So what's the difference between PRing a TV show, which is a sort of joint production, to then PRing your book, Letters to My Fanny?
So different. It's so very different, because I've had 100% control on this. My publisher has been absolutely incredible and patient and wonderful and reassuring. So yes, it has been a team effort, but if it's bad, I can't blame anyone. If people don't like it, then I'm responsible for that. And that's easier to deal with, weirdly, than taking the crap for something that really wasn't anything to do with you.
And what have people said about it? Because spoiler alert, we love it.
So glad. My favourite thing that people say, and people are so sweet and so enthusiastic been so encouraging and so supportive. They come up to me and go, oh my God, I like read it in a day. And so my reply to that is read it again. It took me 2 years to write. But people have been incredibly nice. It's been in a couple of top 10 lists and, my fave thing this week, which I've been amazed about. I hoped it was good, but the response has been beyond what I thought it would be.
Because it's not a work of fiction. It's about you and your life and also your opinions.
And what's scary about this is opinions change. You may not have a very, very strong opinion about something one week and hear a fantastic radio show or have a very interesting conversation and you change your mind. And it's very unnerving committing something to paper that you think, well, I might not think that in 6 months' time. But I also thought if everyone waited until they were rock solid about something, there would be no books with opinions. They just wouldn't. So I had to kind of bite the bullet. It was nerve-wracking because it's so personal.
You've got a track record of being really open about yourself. We're doing a podcast where we are sharing our thoughts and feelings as well, not just sitting here and asking for the story, because I feel like people open up more to you if you open up first to them. We do that as women, don't we?
Absolutely. Women are expected to bare their soul and open up. I feel people's emotions quite strongly. So I have learned over the years to not take responsibility for what that person is doing. At the beginning, it was really, really hard. I got very upset with everyone I was filming with. And I think there was a lot more crying in the early years of my filming. I cried a lot at everything. But if you spent 10 hours talking to someone about the loss of their child, like, how can you not cry? I mean, my challenge was really trying not to emote because it wasn't fair. I didn't want to take the attention away from them. But sometimes there's literally nothing you can do. You're just so involved in how they are and what they're doing. So you learn all these tricks to protect yourself and also how to make a better interview. Like, for example, not talking for 10 minutes straight, like I just did.
We're interviewing you, so this is working well for us. We love the chat. We luxuriate in it.
Women are just so wonderful at chat. You know, we go from strength to strength because we ask people for things, we share things, we're very vulnerable. I need your help with this and I'm scared about this. Women are so good at this. And we have that kind of reputation that we, chit chat.
Men in my life always go, how do women actually converse? How do you actually hear? Because you all talk at the same time. It's like, we're empathizing.
But it's this like stream of healthy health.
It's healthy health.
But I mean, I really want my son, who is sitting on my knee right now, being very cute. I really want him to be able to organize his emotions, to be able to express himself openly, to feel no shame in telling people he's not having a good time or he's not doing very well. Because by doing that, other people, they come to you. You're not manipulating someone. You're not trying to get one over on someone. You're not doing power play. Being honest with people, it brings such good things.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
there is nothing more honest than what you've done here with your book. There are chapters there where you have clearly found it difficult to write about it.
Really hard.
And you've been very open about that. And yet you've gone and written it anyway. And that's an incredibly brave thing to do.
I mean, is being drunk on gin and writing brave?
Yes, very.
Sending it to the publisher the next day is.
That is brave. Thank you. That's waking up the next morning going, oh, I'm still going to send it. Yes, I have been lucky and had family and friends who've always allowed me to feel loved but very honest. And I think that's really the key, to feel accepted even if you're really showing your warts and all. I felt like the book had to be like that. And actually, you know what? I think I did hold back more than I would have liked to, because, you know, I would have gone over the line.
There was a line.
There was a line, and I was aware that at some point my kids might read this. Hopefully not. But so I definitely had that in mind. Your thoughts and feelings aren't always perfectly organized, but I also want to do as much as possible and have fun with it.
I admire how you managed to compartmentalize chapters of your life into actual chapters in the book. That must have been such a difficult thing to do.
That was one of the best things the editor did with me. They sat down and we went, right, which body parts are you going to write to? So I wrote a long list for each body part of the different kinds of things that that evoked. It was set out before I even started writing.
How do you choose your voice when you're writing a book? Are you writing for somebody or you're writing to yourself?
That's such an interesting question. I seem to remember playing with it a little bit. But I've always kept diaries. I've got a gigantic storage box of diaries. And I started when I was 8 and I never stopped. And just pages and pages and pages. So I'm very practiced at writing in an honest way. I didn't write, you know, when you write diaries for people to look at them, so to think you're cool, I never wanted people to look at them. So I sound like a total bell end in all of them because they're real. And it was very much a way that I found I processed things. The book was a lovely opportunity to reflect in an unanxious way and to think, okay, at this point in my life, what have I learned? What do I feel? What a lovely opportunity. I mean, this is because I'm on the telly. It's really hard to get a book published. And there were times when I really couldn't be bothered to write or I really wanted to do something else. And I just reminded myself that I've been given this absolute gift to write a book that's definitely going to be published. I don't have to traipse around trying to find a publisher. This is a once in a lifetime experience, and that made me go to a cafe and write.
Why did you decide to leave out parenting?
Because I just ran out of time, and it was so isn't that awful?
It's ironic, actually.
Literally, it's, I mean, because I was parenting. I was too busy parenting to write about parenting. I think probably I'd like to get another few years under my belt. I think probably only now, after having two and so many conversations with other mums and meeting so many other mums. I think 2.5 years ago, when I was really thinking about the book, I probably just didn't feel like I'd really dug into it. And what I do feel now is that it's such a huge, huge topic. It deserves more than a section of a chapter in a book.
People have so many loud and varied opinions on various parenting techniques. Nothing gets people more irate. So it's a really hard one to try and find the right balance, because actually you don't want to ostracize a huge amount of your readers. I guess you'd start by saying, this is how I've approached it.
You know, I'm definitely sensitive and I do not have a thick skin at all. But there are a couple of moments and a couple of topics where I think, no, I definitely do feel what I feel right now. And I'm going to write this one down because I just don't think I'm ever going to change my mind about it. And breastfeeding was one of those things where I thought there will be people who disagree with me, because it is, as you say, there's such a wide spectrum of opinions and they're so passionate. But I really feel all of those things in the book, and there will be a backlash, I'm sure, and I'm ready to take that. I've kind of got my armor on. I'm ready, kind of in a squat position.
Whichever position you take on breastfeeding, yes, there's going to be an army of people who are ready to take you down on
which
it,
which is, and why I think people don't talk about it.
Yeah, and it's the sort of society's ownership of women's bodies, and then thinking that as soon as there's a baby involved, they have a right to have an opinion to how you're going to choose to feed your child. I mean, I remember the only way I could get her to latch on was with those nipple shields.
What did you used to call them?
Mexican hats. So I was like, right, okay, we're going to do this. And I went and sat down on a park bench, like hiding myself under loads of muslins.
That's when you do need a Mexican hat, an actual one.
She was 2 weeks old and I was just like, right. And I think it was desperation on both of our parts, but she finally latched on. And I was just like, hallelujah. And then I got mastitis. Swimming. I think there was just so much pressure on me to do it.
What would you have loved to happen? What would you think? What information or chat would have made it better for you?
If somebody had said to me, it's okay if you want to stop.
I think when no one prepares you, you for before you have a kid is that you're going to get a lot of advice, and that is opinion-based. Take what they're saying, listen to everybody, and then make your own decision about what's right for you. You know, get informed, and then discard what you don't want to listen to, because it's all very loud, and you're very hormonal, and probably sweaty.
And so the worst thing I think someone could call me is a bad mum. Yeah. It's like the worst, thing, a bad mum. It's so awful. The idea that you would hurt your little perfect loveliness. You know, that message about breastfeeding is loud and strong, as it should be. But there's also got to be a message for mums who are trying and are struggling that your baby will be fine if you decide to bottle feed. It's a very, very short window of time when they're that small. I think too many women have a horrible, horrible, horrible time and lose that diamond of a moment with their kids.
Can you look around a room of people and go, now, you in the back, you were breastfed. On the left, obviously not the one clinging to the curtains. But you know, people don't, I don't know my closest friends, like I don't know who was breastfed and who wasn't. You don't.
My son was mixed fed and my daughter was mostly bottle, either my boob milk or formula, and you cannot tell the difference completely in terms of my relationship with them. Neither of them hardly ever get ill. I know that this is just one example in millions, and I do believe in research, but because I mixed fed my son, I loved that beginning bit of when he'd come out my love tunnel. We had a lovely time. There was no screaming or crying or mummy feeling awful. I loved that bit.
Cherry, you mentioned your love tunnel, and it's something that, I mean, we've only just met, but I like to speak about it.
It happens a lot.
Went a bit forward there, actually. Presumptuous. I'd like to ask about the title of your book.
I think it was partly to do with the fact that I really only properly acknowledged and embraced my sexual self in my 30s. I'd never really consciously thought about my lady bits. I'd never really consciously thought about sex properly. And I realised that I was so much more comfortable playing the fool than being sexy. You know, if there's a fancy dress party, I will always go something ridiculous. And the more ridiculous, the better. I feel quite uncomfortable in a very sexy dress and high heels. I feel a bit like a fraud, like a man in drag sometimes. But I realised that was very silly, and I needed to really embrace my feminine sexual self. And it made me realise that I didn't really know what to call my bit. And it made me laugh. And I remember having lots of conversations with my friend at the time. There wasn't really a word that we both felt comfortable with. The C word is very violent. Vagina sounds like an STD. Nunu is childish. I mean, so Fanny made us laugh because it was probably the closest. But what do you say when you're in the doctor's? Vagina. It just sounds so... I'm you know. Not feeling good there.
Gesticulation there. As opposed to words.
I had one of the best experiences, and it really made me laugh. I did some travelling in Thailand with some friends of mine. And we ended up staying one night in the middle of the jungle. We were staying with this Thai family, and you know, you have dinner, there's no electricity, it's pitch black. What are you going to do? And we were just like sitting there on the terrace, and we suddenly thought,
is this a story about an orgy?
No, well, we're getting to the hot stuff, Charlotte. And we were just chatting, and they didn't speak any English, and my Thai isn't great. And then we ended up doing this kind of body show and tell thing. We were saying that it's called nose, and then they told us what their nose was called. Then it got to boobs. Oh, how we laughed.
Oh, laugh.
And then it went down there.
Oh,
and so
God.
We were literally talking among ourselves, like, what should we call it? What should we call it? And we were like, Fanny.
Yay!
And we said Fanny, and literally they were laughing till they were crying. And we heard her that night, after we'd gone to bed, lying in her room going, Fanny.
There's a small area of Thailand where you're talked about a lot, you know. You're probably folklore now.
It's now part of the dialect.
You've liberated them. You know, I definitely don't want to, you know, start a campaign to like reclaim a particular word. But I think this is exactly the kind of conversation that I think we need to be having. Like, you know, boys are really good about laughing about their bits and grossness and farts and poo and all that funny stuff. And I think it means that they're much friendlier with their bit. There's a much closer connection to their like truncheon, their manhood, their balls. You know, it's a much more of a team game with them, isn't it? We're in this together, my little man and me. And I think we need to show our lady bits the same love. You know, once you've had a baby, God, you need to love your fanny, praise it with all its brilliance, and then also do your pelvic floors. Never forget.
Smooth that snail before I jump out of my pants.
That is the sound of someone telling us we have to move to your second item. Is there something else that we can find in your handbag?
There are two things left in my handbag. One of them is just a toy bird, because there's always a random toy in my bag. Any mum will have this. And I actually kind of like it, because I sometimes will be in far-flung places and I'll open my suitcase and there'll be a rabbit in there. Not a lady rabbit. not a grown-up rabbit. A tiny little raggedy toy one, and it makes me feel connected. And in my handbag today, I had a small bird.
It makes me openly weep sometimes, because the thought of your children can be so lovely and emotional. And then other times you're like, I stood on that in the night, it's so annoying. But suddenly, because you're away and you're nostalgic, you're like, I love them.
I know. And then you remember the morning when you were just shouting into oblivion, like hair and teeth and shoes, and trying to get them ready for school. The minute they're gone or having a nap, you think, why, where are you?
You may well go and wake them up.
Yes, I just want 5 minutes on my own. I don't. Want that.
Exactly. When they're in bed, when they're sleeping at night, and you look at them and you think, oh my God, I love you so much, I think my heart's going to explode.
But don't wake up. Don't wake up.
Please don't
wake up. Yes. It's an intense ride.
And nothing to prepare for. And even though people don't tell you, they don't tell you because they don't know what's going to happen to you, because everyone's different.
Exactly. What advice can they really give you other than, well, you've done it now, haven't you?
Better get on with it.
Yeah. How good is your gin supply? I'd up it immediately. And the last thing in my bag will often be some kind of sportswear, because I find I have to do sport. It's definitely a necessity for me and my mental health. I'm like a wolf. I need it. And it affects every part of my life. It makes me more awake and more fun and just a better person. So I do it for others as well as myself. So I try and run to meetings and I slip it in between and filming. And these are my favourite sport trouser legging, and they're by a brand I've never heard of before. This Daquini.
Oh yes, I'm very familiar with Daquini.
Honestly, they are so good. Someone said, look, they're expensive, but you'll never take them off. They'll do you for every different type of activity in your life, and they were bang on. I wear these out with a white shirt. I wear them to the gym. I wear them to meetings. I wear them just poodling around the house. Praise be to their sucking in potential. They are so good.
Someone ruined my life the other day, or made it better. I feel a lot of the time I look at other women and go, they're obviously together. They're doing it better
than
me.
So on it.
Well done, all of them. I'm a failure.
Yes. And so we all think that, don't we?
We do.
All the time.
But you know, at the school drop-off, and everyone's in their gym kit, apart from me, and I go, I need to get to the gym, I need to do more exercise, I need to. Someone the other day told me that their friend had said to them, you know, it's all a lie. And she'd gone, what? And they'd gone, yeah. They make everyone feel like they're going to the gym, so they don't have to get proper clothes on. So they just pop that on and go home and watch daytime TV. And I'm like, this can't be true. I need to look up to these people. They make me a better person.
I really want that to be true. So badly.
Elsa doesn't have a ukulele.
That is all we have time for today, and we are so grateful to you, Cherry, for having us to your lovely home. We have loved being here. How's your experience been?
I just loved it. I just feel like we've had a lovely evening. All that's missing is nachos and wine, really. But next time.
Next time. Cherry, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We will be on Twitter at Handbags Podcast and on Instagram. Cherry, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
I'm so on Twitter, but more on Instagram, actually. Instagram has really taken over for me.
Interesting.
I love Instagram.
It's because you're more photogenic than us. It's an actual fact.
Oh, well, if you take 25 selfies, one of them will be nice. That's what I've learned.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mommy! I don't crack it now.
Yeah, you can.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.